Welcome to this episode of the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. I'm Lance Carter. Today I'm talking with Jay Chandrasekhar about his new film, The Baby Makers. Jay's an actor, writer, director, and founder of Broken Lizard. The Baby Makers stars Paul Schneider, Olivia Munn, and Jay, who also directed the film, and it follows a couple who's struggling to conceive a child. When Schneider's character finds out that he's infertile, he and his buddies set out to rob a sperm bank. Jay began his career while at school at Colgate with the comedy troupe Charred Goosebeak. And even though he started out as an actor, he quickly moved into the director's chair because he had to. The group wanted to make some videos and commercial parodies, so he figured, I started this, I'm just gonna do it. And that's how he learned how to make movies, he said. His directing credits include Super Troopers, Beer Fest, and The Dukes of Hazzard, and the TV shows Royal Pains, Community, and Happy Endings, and he's still acting. He starred in The Baby Makers, and he did a recent episode of Royal Pains, and crossing his fingers, he's working on a pilot. I talked to Jay about The Baby Makers, his acting and directing career, and don't miss the great acting advice that he gives to actors. I really do appreciate it when you support the advertisers because every little click does help. And don't forget to check out our actor resources page, other interviews, and our daily news items. You can find all of that out on the site, dailyactor.com. And now, here's Jay.
So, and you're at South By with this, right?
Yeah. I sold it there.
Oh, you okay?
Yeah.
So when is it gonna get a wide release? Or?
It'll come out August 3rd in like 10 cities, like New York, Chicago, San Diego, by the way, and then a bunch more: Denver, Milwaukee, Phoenix, and then it'll also be same day video on demand.
How do you feel about that?
Look, historically our films have had a very weird, wild overperformance on video versus theatrical.
That's how I discovered Beer Fest and Super.
Exactly, yeah. Right? And it's because we always joke that our fans are too stoned to get off the couch and go to the fucking movies. And that may well be true, and I still believe it. At the moment, the way the distribution business is that the big studios are looking for movies that can gross $250 million, and that's the explanation for why there's so many like high end digital effects superhero kind of stuff, because there tend to be wider audiences. And so even a film that would make like, if a film made like 80, the studios go, quite enough, and so there are new, they're to some degree reducing the amount of like comedies they're releasing, because also they don't play for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are these new models of distribution that are sort of coming out. This is one of them, right? Which is like same day VOD and as the theatrical, and it's like, it's hard to say, right? I mean, like, until it works in a big way, you don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I think ultimately, I don't know that a lot of people remember super well. They remember if they saw it in a theater, but if they saw Super Troopers on video, they seemed to love it just as much.
Mm-hmm.
So, because they were with their friends, they were smoking joints and whatever it is, So, I feel good about it because of the theatrical component of it.
Yeah.
But I think honestly that the movement is probably going to be towards more totally VOD.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that like more films will be made for less and go straight to VOD, and it'll be considered somewhat okay. I don't know. Like, would I like that? No.
Yeah.
But I'm not luckily having to deal with that.
Yeah. You know what I like about your movies? You can watch them a million times, but just still enjoy it. You know what I mean? It's like one of those where you're flipping the TV and then just keep it on. The people you have in your movies and like the characters, they're people you kind of want to hang out with in real life.
Well, I mean, we met each other when we were 18 in college, and so we have hung out a great deal. And most of the jokes that we wrote for Super Troopers, we wrote, you know, drunk, stoned, or just hanging around, you know, in cars, driving around. And we're friends. And so the I think that feeling sort of infuses our movies. We're also sort of, I don't know. I mean, look, we got a fat guy in the group. We got an Indian guy. We got like a short dude who has like a polio leg. We have another guy who has half a leg. So none of us are really like these alpha male kind of, never were like on top of the pyramid looking down at people. So I think our humor tends to be somewhat inclusive. Like it's never, we don't really make fat jokes. We don't really make like, you're gay, you're bad jokes. You know, we don't really make jokes about people being, you know, ugly, for example. I mean, and I suppose it's because we never felt like we were in that position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so maybe, I don't know. I don't know if that's even answering the question, but it's ultimately like, I'll tell you what it is really, is that we always tried to like make films that had a front layer of like verbal comedy, and then in wherever necessary or where it worked, another layer of like physical comedy, and then maybe in the third layer something else. Something, maybe it's like there's some antlers that are on the wall in Super Troopers that are over our chief's desk, and he kind of is on the phone, and he occasionally will line his head up with these antlers, and it's somewhat subtle, but it's like, I think if you watch it over and over again, uh-huh. you'll catch it,
yeah.
right? And we, you know, because these movies that we grew up on, like Animal House and Fletch and 48 Hours and Trading Places and Spinal Tap and Holy Grail and Life of Brian, like those movies, if you rewind them, you're like, look at that guy and look at this guy's talking, but look at his reaction. You have to see it 10 times to even see that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we end up making movies that sort of, you know, we have five guys with a bunch of jokes. We're trying to pack jokes in, and so a lot of jokes end up in the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you kind of have to look different places.
Yeah. Now, this one, how did this come to you?
These guys, Peter Gawky and Jerry Swallow, they wrote a film. Peter Gawky directed a film called Strange Wilderness that Kevin was in. And so they brought this film because Peter kind of went through this fertility business. And so they wrote this movie, and they gave it to us at Warner Brothers, and Warner Brothers bought it. And you know, they wanted one of the top four, you know, comedy movie stars in the business. And those guys were booked for 2 years in a row, and then it just never happened. And so my friend Jason Blum, who produced Paranormal Activity and Insidious, he's done really well with these cheap horror movies. He called me up and he said, do you have any movies that we can just go quickly run and make? And I said, let's call Warner. So Warner said, yeah, I mean, I have a good relationship with them. They said, yeah, go make it. Go, you know. And we developed it. We did 10 drafts there. I mean, we really kind of like ran it through the studio gauntlet. And then we got it out and we just sort of, you know, making an independent film is so great because you're your boss. And you have to be disciplined. You know, because there's nobody telling you anything.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to, like, kind of, you know, if you have an instinct to do something, you do it. There's nobody to run it by. Casting it's up to you,
yeah.
You know? And it's, once we pulled out of Warner's, we kind of, you know, we changed the character of Ron Johnny. He was originally, like, an Eastern European. But Borat was too great. You could never top Borat. So we switched it to an Indian, and I played him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we just added jokes. And also, we made their relationship more real. Because I'm just kind of more interested in real now.
With Olivia Munn, you know, with this, and now that she's on The Newsroom, man, she's great. I mean...
She's great, isn't she?
Yeah. And no offense to her, you know, I would just be like, I wouldn't have thought. How did you find her?
She was in... she had a show called Attack of the Show.
Oh, yeah.
She was the host, and mm-hmm. she's just dynamite prompter reader. But she's able to, like, just feather in jokes and do this amazing... And I know this because she was a huge Super Troopers fan, and she and her brother bonded over that film.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were enemies, and they bonded. So when I came on, she's like, oh, my God. right? Yeah. And so we became friends, and then she's like, why don't you come host? And I was like, okay, I'll...
What oh, cool.
She's like, just read the monitor. I'm like, okay. And I'm like...
Had you ever done that before, anything like
no.
that?
No. And she's zipping through, and she's like, what do you think, Jay? And I'm like, oh, fuck. Are you kidding me? And it was fun. It was great. And but we really kind of hit it off. And then I tried to get her a... Fox called us up and said, would Broken Lizard do a late night show on Saturday opposite Saturday Night Live? And I was like, no. But I have a friend, Olivia Munn, who I want you guys to look at to do like a talk show. Like, it'll be hip. It'll be like young woman. She's got a brilliantly funny mind. And they're like, oh, that's too risky for us, right? But we became kind of, we went through like a bunch of ideas. And I'm like, this chick really has it. And then we kind of made a film called Freeloaders, which is like, it's, we produced it. Some other people are in it. And she did one scene in it. And she blew it away. And I was like, oh, she can act. Not like she can kind of act, she can fucking act.
She can, yeah.
And so when I was making this film, I was like, you know, we had an offer out to some sort of famous person. She met me at the Chateau Marmont. She's like, a hotel up there. And she's like, I need to play this role, and you know it. And I was like, you're right. I said, how can we manipulate these people into casting you, though? I mean, she's like, we can do it. Let's do it. So we went about, like, kind of... backdooring and just like, oh, you know, she's going to be in this and that. And we just kind of hyped her up.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who were involved, who were partners with me, they're like, okay. And luckily for us, you know, she's in the newsroom and she's in Magic Mike and she's up, you know, she's not only a great actor, she's great at giving notes, phenomenal editing notes. Like, you would never even imagine. They're just like, she gave me a whole set of editing notes on the first cut and I was like, really? I mean, I've had 7 fucking movies.
Yeah.
It's like, really? Okay. And I just like, well, we'll try this. And I'm like, yeah, that works. And I try, I'm like, yeah, that's better. And I just went roll down, and it was like an 80% hit list. It was just like one great note after another. So I showed her the next cut, and I'm like, give me your notes. Mm-hmm. And she's very talented at story and jokes. And, you know, I always say I can only write women up to a point. Like, and I do my very best to try to make them well-rounded, but I don't know the jokes about what kind of, you know, whatever. Like, what about these pants is so funny to other women? They're not involved in that club, right? Or what is it about men that, you know, I'm obsessed with sex in this way. I know, the second I meet a woman, I know whether I want to have sex with her. What do you think? You know, and she has a million funny versions of things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which we're going to make a film called Shotgun Wedding together.
Oh, cool.
And she's involved deeply in the writing of it. And she's just, it's a joy to work with somebody like her who's so funny, got tons of charisma, so smart. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a joy.
Obviously, you're in this and you've done some other acting.
Yeah.
Would you ever... not full-time, obviously, but do you actively seek parts out? Or do they, your friends, just buddies, just say, hey, we got a part for you, want to come up on a show?
You know, like, on television shows, a lot of times when I direct them, they'll say, hey, would you do this part? And I'm like, yeah, I'm here, what the hell, I'm about. I'm not out there humping it. But, I mean, I'm open to it. I think this is an issue with, I remember when we were starting up and we'd met Super Troopers, our agent called us up and said, do you have anything for Woody Allen? And I'm like, it's a little intimidating. I mean, what the fuck? I mean, I'm going to direct Woody Allen? Is that really? He's like, well, he really wants to act. And I think that directors in general are reluctant to have other directors. I mean, that's why, like, when I'm an actor in someone else's movie, I'm like, what do you want, boss?
Yeah, yeah.
You want it bigger? Let's go. Doesn't matter. You know, I mean, it's just sort of a... I am an actor, and so you have to sort of really dive into it. But ultimately, I don't think I'm going to, like... I'm trying to do a television show, and I'll be in that television show. And if it goes, then I'll act all the time.
Oh, cool, okay.
But I don't know. I mean, I was offered a sitcom once where I was the lead guy in it, and I was like, it was a laugh track and multi-camera, and I'm like, I don't think what I do will make me happy in this format.
Yeah.
I said, I hope you guys succeed in it. But
did it ever get made?
They did. They shot it, and you know, whatever reason, didn't go on. But it was just, you know, I needed to be artistically right for me.
Did you start out, want to start out as a writer, director?
I started out as an actor.
Oh, did you?
And then I started the comedy group at Colgate. They were called, we were called Charred Goosebeak there. And I wanted it to feel like a mix of Python and SNL. And so we were going to have characters that you saw in the early sketches come back like Python did in two or three times. And then shoot short videos like SNL was doing. They'd shoot these commercial parodies. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I bought a camera, like a high-8 video camera, and everybody else, the guy, other guys in the group, they were like, none of them were acting really. Like one or two of them, but some of them were just like, oh, I did a play in high school, or I was trying out for a commercial, breakdancing. I mean, it was like, they were just funny guys. And so, when it came down to directing, I was like, I started this, I guess I'm going to fucking do it. So, I put a camera on a tripod and press, yeah.
Last question.
Okay. Okay. I press record, and we just, and I slowly, and I get in the edit room, and I'm like, God, I really need a shot, a close-up of this thing. And the pain of that, not having that shot, next time I would get the close-up. And that's how I learned how to make movies. I'm like, through pain, you know, I'm like, who directed this? I directed this.
Yeah.
Fucking should have this shot. It's all too close. Where are the wides? And so the next time, and you slowly, through, you know, trial and error, you become a filmmaker.
When you're casting something, either like TV or film, what do you see actors doing that are just the things that just like where they shoot themselves in the foot?
I think when they put multiple pauses in sentences, because what happens is when you pause in a sentence in television, we're cutting away. In film, you can hang out with one pause in the sentence, but if you try to lock two in there, we're cutting away. Like, to keep the camera on yourself, speak at a reasonably decent pace, and choose your pauses wisely.
Nice.
That's what happens. Yeah. We will cut.
I've never heard that before.
You can act. Yeah. You can act all the fuck you want to, but we're cutting away.
Yeah.
And the camera's going to be on Joel McHale instead of you.
Thanks, Jay, and thank you guys for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Thank you so much for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.